From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Seattle's Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has led the charge to push foreign aid philanthropies to be more efficient and effective, more like businesses. Well, some critics say that when it comes to helping poor people, a return on investment can't be the only measure of success. So how is the push to become more business-like changing the world of aid, development, and philanthropy for the better and perhaps for the worse? Tom Paulson thinks about this a lot. He's founder and editor of the news blog Humanisphere. If you don't follow Humanisphere, you don't know what's going on. Tom writes regularly about global development and aid. Tom Paulson, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ross.
First of all, how much of a break is this from the past, the kind of business-like attitudes that have been brought to the world of philanthropy by the Gates Foundation?
I think it isn't just the Gates Foundation. I think it's a trend that's been going on that sort of preceded them. They're obviously the biggest 8,000-pound gorilla in the aid universe, so whatever they do has a big impact. It's been a trend that's underway, and I would say I don't think it's fully accepted yet. There's a lot of talk about it, but I think the aid industry, if you want to call it that, still largely operates according to sort of the traditional approaches, which is that if it's well-intended and it looks like it's going to help, they do it. And I think the elements of business that a lot of people are talking about trying to bring into this field is, you know, setting up better metrics, making sure we can see that things are working, and to some extent, there are some making the extreme argument that we should just abandon the whole nonprofit and charitable mindset and make this whole operation more like a business in general.
Well, how can you be against being more efficient and more effective, sort of the hallmarks of using metrics to measure and making changes to get those metrics to look better?
Well, you can't be really, I don't think you can legitimately argue against efficiency, but I think there's a mythology that business is always the most efficient and best way to accomplish anything. It's a very American mindset. But I think that's partly why this is sort of a fascinating debate within the aid and development community, is that there are some people who are making the case that all of these problems of poverty and inequity, diseases of poverty, injustice, that the best approach is going to be to take a business-like approach to fixing these problems. And yet there are other people who are basically arguing that that's actually a red herring and a distraction from the fundamental drivers of poverty and inequity, which have nothing to do with business and have a lot more to do with politics. Or, well, they have something to do with business, and that business is skewed, and that the poor are actually not a very good market.
So some of the folks who sort of bridle at this use of business metrics are saying that these metrics are not measuring the right things, or there are things outside the ability to measure that are having a huge influence on keeping people poor?
Yeah, I mean, I think let's just back up a little bit. And what's aid, development, charity, whatever word we want to use, humanitarian efforts, what are they for? Why do they exist? And they're primarily, I think, everyone would agree, they're launched to fill in a gap. People without enough food, children without access to education, mothers without health care. So this whole field, which is growing, actually, I think it's not a bad idea to view it as an industry, it's growing to fill in a gap. So the real question is, why does the gap exist in the first place? Albert Einstein said you can't really find the solution to a problem until you have accurately identified the problem. So really, the question is, what is the fundamental problem that aid is trying to address? Is it a business failure, or is it something a little bit more broadly, a broader dynamic? And I think, so that's something to keep in mind. And I think, however, what I'd like to say in defense of those who are promoting more business-like mindsets is that this whole field sort of evolved out of religious organizations doing charitable work. And it was done with the best of intentions, often, not always. And, it kind of grew out of that. And there's been a lot of people who refer to this field as charity. And that's because of the religious history behind a lot of this, but it's evolved now, and I think it's better to think of it as an industry, and it is better to apply business principles, because there are examples where we're doing things and have been doing things that actually don't do any good and sometimes do harm, even though you would think on the face of it, you know, that they look like they would help. And I could give some examples.
I want you to. Tom Paulson is my guest. He's the founder and editor of the news blog Humanosphere. He looks at global development and aid. And are there any examples of areas where perhaps some of these organizations, some of these philanthropies started going in a business direction and went, wait a second, these types of metrics are not really the way to go at all, and reversed themselves and backed out of it?
Well, one interesting ongoing exploration that I think, you know, kind of it's fun to watch is Tom's Shoes. You know, Tom's Shoes is a business, and they sell you shoes that are probably cost about $1 to make in China, and they sell you these shoes for $50. And but you feel good because they give a free pair of shoes for every pair of shoes you buy. They give a free pair of shoes to poor people. So it's an approach called the buy one, get one approach, and it's applying business to solve a social and a problem of poverty. The problem with it, and it may be well intended, the problem with it is that it displaces local industries. So you're giving poor people shoes instead of helping the community develop a cobbler's shop and make their own shoes. And it also there's people who would argue that it encourages a kind of dependency. These donated goods approach. There's also, this happens a lot with clothing in general. A lot of organizations donate clothing to help people, and it actually disrupts local businesses.
That's a really insightful example. So the metrics of more people getting shoes might be going up, kind of ignoring the fact that it's undermining a local business that might be a longer-term solution to the issue.
Right, exactly. And I think one thing I wanted to say, you started out by saying the Gates Foundation is leading this push to get more of a business-like approach. And I think that's true, but I think it's also maybe more accurate to say what they're pushing is metrics. They want measurement. They want to show that they're having impact. And you have some folks, like the Zambian economist Dambisa Moyo, who pretty much argues that all aid is undermining. It makes people passive, makes recipients passive, it undermines local industry, and that a business-like approach and just promoting business is going to be what helps Africa way more than aid. And Bill Gates actually recently called Moyo's book evil, which is unusual, unusually ideological language for Gates to use. And that set off a really interesting debate, because Gates was arguing that foreign aid and development and charity, to some degree, is good, because until we really have a business solution for all of these problems, we can't just abandon, you know, actually just giving people things, helping people to get over the hump. So I think, again, there's this spectrum of arguments out there. Gates is very big on metrics, and I could also tell you what I think are some problems with the metrics approach, which is also gotten to be a little bit manic within the aid and development community.
We're going to save that for another time. This is a debate that is far from over. Tom Paulson, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
And do check out the news blog Humanosphere that he runs.